this you or is this you? I can't remember. I think this is you.
The one in the middle.
Daniel's not gonna be here. John will be a little bit late.
Thank you.
The mayor's gonna be here?
He didn't say, he's in this morning, but he didn't say, but Daniel won't be here, but John will be a little bit late. Thanks, Lord. Here's the, here's the audit committee, here's the regular agenda.
So which do I start first, the audit committee?
Go Gators.
I'm gonna end up having to cheer for the Gators.
No, we're gonna be up by 23 and wind up losing by two.
Oh, really?
Get outscored 25-0, that was the last 6 minutes.
Just ask me.
It's an arch enemy, man. Looks like us pulling for Florida State.
Mr. McCloud is not in right now. Ms. Heimbuffel?
It's a Kentucky, here.
Mr. Muffley?
Here.
Mr. McGowan is out, Ms. Rich?
Here.
Mr. Gwynn is out.
Are there any public comments before we begin about the audit committee? Anyone have any comments? Okay, topics for discussion. Approval of January 5th, 2013 audit committee minutes.
I make a motion for approval.
I second.
Good.
Call the roll.
Okay, Ms. Heimbuffel?
Aye.
Mr. Muffley?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye. Presentation by Purvis Gray and Company. Presentation by Purvis Gray and Company.
Cindy Kelly, Budget and Finance. We are here today to talk about the fiscal year 2012 audit. And Purvis Gray is gonna come up and speak to the information you were given in your agenda packet related to the management letter. Mark White.
Thank you, Cindy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us here today. We appreciate it. Make a few introductions. To my right is Phil Gessner. Phil is the staff CPA supervisor in charge of your audit. And we have two of our audit staff in the audience here, Roberto Terrell, audit senior, and Chris Kansky, staff auditor. And I'm Mark White, the partner in charge of the audit. So we are here today to essentially complete the audit process by reviewing our reports with the governing board, if you will. You all may remember that we had an entrance conference with you. It wasn't too long ago. I believe it was around the middle of January. So this kind of is the wrap-up of that process. I can tell you that the audit went very well. Today will be our last day on site. We have been here, we started roughly mid-February, so 4 or 5 weeks on site here with a team of, we average 4 to 5 people. So I know as much as your finance and accounting staff love us, they're gonna be glad to see the audit be completed at this point in time, I think, and perhaps get their conference room back.
Having gone through many bank examinations, you bet your gum rear.
Yeah, we understand. your CAFR is 99.9% complete. It's down to final editing by your staff, and of course, on our side, we still have to go through the quality control review, all of which will be taking place this week. So this will be the second year in a row, back-to-back, on track for getting this done by the end of March, which is a good thing. I think that's something that the city has been striving for, and I think that's the result of a lot of hard work by your staff throughout the city. throughout the city, but most notably your finance and accounting department. Of course, John Leggy isn't with us anymore. He's moved on, but Mary Ann Davis and Cindy and their entire staff. We also have to, we want to acknowledge Jeannie Covington, the city's internal auditor, who has played an important role in this process as well. We only had a couple of very small audit adjustments as a result of the audit, so that is also indicative of continued progress by your department. So it's good that we can come in and you have a CAFR substantially complete, to which we propose little or no adjustments. So that's very, very good. So I'm going to turn it over to Phil, who's going to review some of the auditor reports, and I'll make a couple of comments on some of our comments afterwards.
Good morning. And it's nice to be back with you again today after talking to you earlier in January to be able to complete the audit. The first letter that you're going to see in your agenda package is our letter to those charged with governance. And our standards require that we communicate certain matters to you. This letter allows us to meet those standards and identifies the key estimates and disclosures in the financial statements, which are described in the bulleted details on pages 1 through 2. On page 3, if we had encountered any difficulties in performing the audit or had any disagreements with management on the application of accounting principles, reporting, or audit standards, we would report them to you at this place in this letter. We're pleased that we had none of these items. On page 1 of the independent auditor's report, the first paragraph tells you that we've audited the financial statements. Complete, accurate, and timely financial statements are the responsibility of management. Our responsibility is to express an opinion on those financial statements based on our audit. The second paragraph tells you that we've performed our audit in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the U.S. and with government auditing standards issued by the U.S. Comptroller General. And Florida statutes require that your audit be completed in such manner. The third paragraph tells you that we believe the financial statements are free of material misstatement and in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles. That's the best you can get. So, very good job by your finance and accounting department. The fourth paragraph tells you that government auditing standards require that we issue a separate report on the city's internal control over financial reporting and on the city's compliance with certain provisions of laws, regulations, contracts, and grant agreements, and other matters that could have a material effect on the financial statement. This report can be found beginning on page 151, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Moving on to page 2 of the independent auditor's report, these two big paragraphs tell you that we've extended our opinion on the financial statements to the city's schedule of expenditures of federal awards and state financial assistance, and to the combining and individual non-major fund financial statements and the budgetary comparison schedules. Moving on to page 151, we're pleased to report that we did not identify any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in the city's internal controls over financial reporting during the audit. Should be noted that this is a significant change from 2009 and 2010, and that this is the second consecutive year that this has been the case. So again, very good of the finance and accounting department, as well as the whole city, to have that as the case. This report also tells you on page 152 that we've reported certain matters to the city, to city management, in a separate management letter beginning on page 159, and Mark will be going into some detail on that in a little bit. Page 153, this is our report with regard to compliance with requirements that could have a direct and material effect on the major programs for your grants. We're pleased to report that the city complied with OMB Circular A-133, with compliance requirements for the major federal programs, as well as the state financial assistance projects, and that we did not identify any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in the city's internal control over compliance during the audit. Again, very good job. Page 155 is the schedule of findings and question costs, which relate to your federal award programs and state financial assistance projects. The city received $3.6 million of federal awards this year and approximately $759,000 in state awards this year, this fiscal year that we're auditing. Page 1 to 6 summarize some of the same, or paragraphs 1 to 6 summarize the same information that we've just been talking about. Paragraph 7 identifies which were the major federal award programs and state financial assistance projects that were subject to testing during our audit. Paragraph 9 tells you that the city qualified as a low-risk auditee this fiscal year, which is a significant change from last year when the city did not qualify as a low-risk auditee. That was due to the findings going back to 2009 fiscal year and the late filing of the data collection form for the 2009 fiscal year. Because the city has not had any findings in 2010 and 11, and the data collection form was filed timely during 2010 and 11, as well as the improvements that we've seen, this allowed us to assess the city as a low-risk auditee for the first time in the past 3 years. So that's another significant change that represents the changes that have occurred in your finance and accounting department. Page 156 just tells you some of the same information that we've previously discussed. So I'll move on to page 157, our management letter. The management letter is required by the Florida Auditor General. It requires that we address compliance with certain matters. These matters include reporting on whether the city has taken corrective actions to address prior findings and recommendations, compliance with Florida statutes regarding the investment of public funds, disclosure of the official title of the city, legal authority, recommendations to improve the financial operations of the city, which we will address, Mark will address as part of his review of the management letter comments beginning on page 159. It should be noted that city council and management have encouraged us to provide recommendations to improve the city's financial operations, and we're pleased to do so. So at this time, I'll turn it back over to Mark White to talk about some of the management letter comments.
Thank you, Phil. I would direct your attention to page 159, which is the first page of our management letter comments. And as Phil had indicated, y'all have always encouraged us to provide any recommendations that we can to improve financial management, and we're pleased to have done that on the next several pages. But rather than go through all those points, I would like to direct your attention to the three items that I think are the most significant for the City Council's input. And we would be starting on page 159 with the very first item there, which is a updated recommendation from the prior year. In the prior year comment, we were urging y'all to monitor closely your Crystal River 3 nuclear decommissioning escrow account and the related liability account, because at that time it looked like there was going to be a license extension to extend the life of the plant, which would probably have a very favorable effect on how much nuclear decommissioning resources you have accumulated. And I guess events have kind of overtaken us. In 2013, of course, Duke has announced that they're going to retire the Crystal River 3 plant. So the entire focus of that comment from last year has changed dramatically to where we are this year. So I think what we're trying to tell you in the 2012 update is that the city has designated FMPA to negotiate on your behalf. They are essentially negotiating on behalf of all the municipal minority owners of the plant to reach a settlement agreement with Duke, and they are negotiating on several points, one of which is the sufficiency of your decommissioning account balance, because now we are at a point where the actual decommissioning of that plant will begin at some point in the near future, and it's expected to be a long-term process. And Secondly, would be the cost of replacement power that the city would otherwise have been entitled to had the plant not shut down prematurely. So that's a very key item. You know, the Crystal River 3 entitlement, the output from that plant that you enjoyed as a result of your minority ownership was deducted from your FMPA bill, so you only, you know, you look at the total kilowatt hours metered into your substation minus what you were entitled to from Crystal River, and you paid FMPA for the difference. And that nuclear power was very cheap. So, you know, you've lost that essentially going forward. So that is one of the points that's being negotiated with them. And number three is just the return of a lot of the money that the city has put into the plant as well, capital costs. So we think that's an important item for the city. You know, we know your management is involved with monitoring that at FMPA, and we're keeping an eye on that as well. But that's kind of a milestone. Y'all have had that probably since the late 70s, I guess it is, when y'all got into that. So that's a big item. Matt, you have any comments on that? Or?
No, I just might add that they're actually looking at doing what they call a safe close on it, which is where they essentially lock the door and turn the lights out, looking at decommissioning it maybe 10 or 20, 30 years down the road. We really don't know yet. What we do know, though, is that it will no longer be used to generate electricity.
Right. So we think that's a significant item. And then at the top of page 160, as y'all know, you're going through utility billing system upgrade. You know, we commented on that last year, just the importance of that. The city runs approximately $240, $250 million a year through the utility billing system due to the large electric, water, wastewater, sanitation, stormwater utilities that you operate. So we were just pointing out how critical a function that is, and any time you go through a major conversion like that, it's very tenuous and requires a lot of effort by a lot of people. Our 2012 update on that is that y'all have made a lot of progress, and I believe the go live date is the middle of May, which is just a couple of months away. And our comment here is, you know, reflective on the prior conversion that y'all did several years ago when you went from the original kind of homegrown system to the PeopleSoft system that you have now. When that was done, a lot of the effort was done in making sure that the system would bill, collect, and do all the things that a utility billing system is expected to do. And not as much time was spent on the interface of that system into the financial system, the books and records. And again, you have all the utilities that I just mentioned, multiple rate classes, BPCA, customer deposits, all kinds of money coming and going through that thing. And we just want to make sure that this go round, that adequate vetting of the interface into the accounting system of this new product is done. So just a caution, because the last time that didn't go well, and it took several years to ferret out all the issues and get them corrected. And you know, we've discussed this with your staff, and I think they're all aware of it and on board with that concept. But still wanted to mention it to you as well. And then the last item that I think is significant, perhaps maybe the most significant, is the pension reform comment at the bottom of page 160. We point out in the comment that as a result of increasing pension costs and the large unfunded accrued actuarial liability of the city's general employee plan, that the city has engaged an independent actuary to review the plans and offer recommendations to make them more affordable, and that the council is currently reviewing alternatives that have been presented by the independent actuary. we recently, and it's included in your CAFR, in the CAFR disclosures, the actuarial report as of 10/1/12, which is what determines the contributions for your 2014 year. That'll be the 13-14 year budget that you'll be, you guys are just now working on getting finalized. That actuarial report for the general employees indicates that the total required contribution of the plan has grown to 61% of payroll, of which 8% is paid by the employees, which leaves 53% of payroll to be paid by the city to fund the plan for that year. I don't have to tell you that that's a, I don't know what the appropriate word is, maybe outrageous.
Staggering.
Very, very expensive cost to the city. And additionally, the UAAL, the unfunded actuarial accrued liability, that's what that is that looks at what the pension benefits have been earned by the employees to date compared to the fair market value of the plan assets, and that difference has grown from roughly $92 million to $104 million just since the last actuarial report. So this is really a critical item to the city, and we know y'all are working with Jim Rizzo, who is an excellent actuary. We know and have worked with him for many years, and I'm sure he's going to guide you through all the various alternatives, and that y'all will make a good decision. But the current plan appears to be economically unsustainable as it's currently stated, and we know you're going to have to do something significant to reduce these costs. So just a word of encouragement for y'all to continue on that road.
Mark, it's my understanding, just so council understands, the numbers that Mark gave you was only for the general employees pension. It does not include the police or the fire.
Yes, and our recommendation, which is at the top of page 160, is essentially that you complete the current deliberations over the general employee plan, and as soon as you get that behind you, take a look at both police and fire as well.
Mark, at what point, if something is not done, at what point would the accounting firm have a more negative comment other than just what is in here?
Well, it's not really a, when you say negative comment, a lot of what...
So there wouldn't be this wouldn't have a qualifying effect on it?
No, I don't think so. It doesn't change, your financial statements are still fairly presented, because it's all recorded properly and disclosed. It simply has a devastating economic effect on the city is the point. At some point, I don't know whether we would get to a going concern issue would perhaps be what you would be referring to. I think we're a ways away from that. But it is a very, very significant item.
Thank you.
And we have a number of other comments and recommendations that I don't plan to go through one by one with you. I know you guys have had a copy of the report. We'd be glad to discuss any of those with you and answer any questions that you might have if y'all have any comments or questions on the remaining items. Like I said, we just wanted to really stress the big three that we saw. Okay. Well, we'd like to close again by acknowledging the efforts of your staff. We appreciate the cooperation we always get from the top right on down to every employee here at the city, and we appreciate the opportunity to be of service in our hometown.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Madam President, if I can just take about 10 seconds and echo what Mark just said. We appreciate the external auditors and the work that they've done. If you recall, 3 years ago and beyond, our
financial house was not in order. We had some real challenges, and Mark was a great assistance. His team was a great assistance to us in trying to turn that ship around, and indeed, we have turned that ship around and regaining steam. I might also want to compliment staff. Of course, you know, John moved on last part of January, first part of February, so we were down one critical individual, and Cindy and Marianne and their team stepped up and filled in nicely and were able to make sure the CAFR was put out in a very timely manner. And so kudos to them and their staff as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes staff's presentation unless council has anything further for us.
Thank you. We need to take a few minutes for Roseanne to switch over.
If I can invite Sean, you want to go ahead and start setting up while they transition the tapes?
Okay.